This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I'm Ashley Williams Allen,
a television producer, former title holder, and seasoned pageant judge. On the Pageant Masterclass, I'm combining insider knowledge from Hollywood and the judges' table to teach you how to stand out, own the room, and become the queen every judge is looking for.
I'm excited because today I'm interviewing a pageant vet and an extraordinary pageant coach, the former Miss South Carolina, who has mastered mindset, which I'm excited to talk to her about today. So please welcome Jada Samuel. Yay, I'm so glad you're here. Obviously I started this podcast as a free resource to girls who are participating in pageants. I just wanted there to be a place where they could go to find information about how to be successful. And like you would say, how they could be positioned to win.
Yeah, that's literally what the YouTube channel and all the videos that I'm going to be posting are about.
For me, the thing that stands out about you is I feel like you have really mastered mindset, which is something that really trips girls up when they're participating in pageants.
I do.
How have you been able to master that?
Oh, I think it's a mix of several things. I think one, it's the spirituality aspect. I know who I am and what I'm grounded in, and that's my faith. And that might not be the same for everybody, but for me, it is my faith. So you have to find what you're going to be grounded in. That has to center everything that you do in your life, but definitely what you're going to do in competition. So for me, it was faith, knowing that I was called to do something much bigger than just compete or wear the crown. It's about the aspect of service. Like, all in all, like, this is always about serving others. Like, our lives are supposed to be dedicated to serving others. So for me, it was being grounded in that. And then also knowing that even if I didn't win, I still knew women who were doing incredible things that hadn't won. Like, hello, dude, everybody knows Halle Berry. You know Halle Berry, but you might not know that she competed in pageants. You know Beyonce Knowles Carter, but you might not know that she competed in pageants. Like, you know, even Rihanna or like your favorite artist, like there are so many women who competed and they walked away with something so much more. And so it was the mindset of like, this has got to be more than just like win or lose for me. Like, I've got to figure out what else I can gain throughout this process.
I love that. I love that so much. I feel like for me, you know, participating in the Miss USA system, it set me up for the rest of my life, you know? Mm-hmm. One thing that I love to do with the guests that I have on is talk through each aspect of the pageant, mm-hmm. And kind of get a piece of advice from them. But for you, I would love it if we could talk through each step of the pageant and give advice, obviously, so that the girls can be positioned to win the pageant, but also how you see it positioning them to win in life in general. You know, so let's start with their platform or community service initiative. What would be your advice when it comes to participating in a pageant? What is important when you think of that aspect?
I tell girls all the time, don't choose something just because someone said that you were supposed to choose something. Choose something that means something to you. We can see through the people who chose the Alzheimer's Association because their great uncle, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we need authenticity in that, because if it doesn't apply to where you're at or where you want to go, there's no sense in you doing it. Like, absolutely none. Like, choose something that matters to you.
Yes, I love that. And I mean, as a judge, you're like, I'm interested in this platform, but I truly don't understand how it's connected to you in any way. And you found like some back road, like you said, to your great uncle. But what would you say to the girl who doesn't know or doesn't know how to figure that out? Like maybe doesn't feel connected to anything or doesn't feel like she has a personal story attached to something.
Well, one, your platform is allowed to evolve in the same way that you are. When I came to Miss South Carolina at 21 years old, I'm much older than, you know, a lot of the girls that started competing at 18 or 19 at that time. And I was like, I've been running my own nonprofit mentoring organization since 2014. This is not new to me. Like the service aspect is not new to me. But I also knew like there were some girls who were coming in and they were like, I've never done the service. Like I genuinely just enjoy the competition part, but you have to figure out, okay, is there something that could relate to your potential career? Are you going into human resources? Could you tell other girls how to prepare for their careers and connect them to an organization that's already doing that? Do you care about food insecurity? Has someone in your life really struggled? Has your grandfather not been able to eat because he lives in middle of nowhere, South Carolina, and can't get, you know, the food services that he needs? He lives in a food desert. You know, there are so many things that could connect you to a platform and to an issue. But I always say, how can this be something that puts you in position to win after the crown? So is it something that is healthcare related if you are studying something in the STEM or healthcare areas? Can it be something related to education? You're learning so much already. If you're in college studying education, why can't it be something related to the people that you are going to serve in your career? And so I always start with those questions. And a lot of times teens really struggle with that because they're like, well, I'm new to this whole thing. Like, I don't know what I'm passionate about. I don't even know what I'm going to study in college. And that's why I tell people all the time, your platform can truly grow up with you. Like, I might have come solely talking about my girls' mentoring organization, but I realized over time, there's a need to talk about mentorship in every area of everyone's life, because not only do you need a mentor from K through 12, but you need a college mentor, you need professional mentors. And so it turned into something and evolved into something that was much bigger than just my one organization. And I ended up becoming a part of a collaborative of organizations that were doing mentoring programs throughout the state. So it's really important for you to know that like every year things can change. Like you don't have to stay boxed in terms of your platform. When you learn more, you can do more.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, you made a great point to say like, finding some way to serve other people, not just to build a platform or a CSI, but also it's just a principle in life that is so important. So how does really digging into that help girls outside of pageants?
Oh my goodness. Well, one, if you're doing the right things and serving the communities that really need you, one, most of the time I tell girls, there's someone already doing the work that you think that you're supposed to be doing. Like there's no need in you starting, I'm starting something. No, there's someone already doing it. Find out who they are and connect with those people. That way, number one, you're expanding your network. These are people that are going to know you, that they're going to mention you in rooms when it comes to speaking opportunities or awards or whatever else. Like they're going to think of you because you're serving alongside them. And so I always tell girls, start doing research and figure out who's already doing it. Like, I guarantee you don't need to start an Alzheimer's organization. Like, there's one that already exists. Partner with them and see how you can expand their efforts that they're already doing. I mean, they already exist, you know?
I love that. It's so good. Well, I think, you know, platform and CSI sort of leads into the application part of pageantry. And I think for me as a judge, that has been something that I think a lot of contestants maybe don't put enough emphasis on. But I look at your application the same way that I would look at a resume. You know, it really gives us a first impression of who you are. What is your advice when it comes to the application process?
Well, lucky enough, I have competed in multiple systems. So I tell people all the time, like, I might have won a title in the Miss America organization, but I started this whole pageant journey in the USA system. And I've competed in the you know, Miss Black United States, those kinds of pageants. So I've kind of done a little bit of everything. And so I've seen the applications and the resumes and platform essays or whatever else you have to turn in for so many different organizations. And I tell girls all the time, number one, we can tell if you didn't do it. Like, like we want you to show up authentically on this piece of paper. And that means that you have to be the one who at least writes it or edits it. You know, you can't just give it to someone else and be like, okay, I check this thing off. And I say that, you know, there are so many different ways to do that. And you can do the whole, like, let me grab their attention by using this phrase thing. Or you could just tell your story and leave some open ends and let that kind of lead the way for the conversation that you're going to have in interview. Because the judges are going to want to know more if you give them a you know, little hint as to who you are, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting about this person. Like, I want to learn more. That's what your paperwork should feel like when you read it, in my opinion.
So in your experience, what is something that was on your application that you're like, I always loved that this was on my application?
Oh my gosh. I always love. So every system I feel like has this little part where they ask for like fun facts. And my fun fact is always that people will never be able to guess like what my dream car is. And I kid you not, there will always be some little old man or some cool quirky person who's like maybe interested in cool cars, and they ask about it. And it always sparks this really cool conversation because my favorite car and dream car is something that no one would expect. Like, I am talking like, people would be like, huh, you? Like, you look so posh and like put together. Like, you would drive that? And then I say, yeah, a 1967 El Camino. And they're like, half truck, half car? Like, what? You? And I'm like, up under all of the glam, like, I'm really a cool, like, artsy chick. Like, I think. So it gives me reason to share more about who I am. And I think that sometimes you just need to, like, add those fun things that people don't expect. Like, that's the cool part about your paperwork. You can be you.
Then when it comes to filling out applications, I mean, I do think it's a really good practice for, starting with teens, learning how to fill out a resume. So yeah. What are some takeaways that position women to win in life when it comes to applications and resumes?
Just learning how to share what value you add. And that is something that if you learn how to do that in competing, you're going to learn how to share that in every other aspect of your life. So in terms of your career, it's going to be like non-negotiable. This is what she brings to the table. And you want people to be able to see that on your resume and not just in number form. Like, I get it. People love to say they've reached X number of people, but I want to know how you touch people here, like on that paperwork. Like, that is what I think is most important. Like, you can say, you know, I can say I've reached 50,000 students during my year as Miss South Carolina. That's wonderful. But I can also tell you that I have been in Target or Moe's, and I've had a kid walk up to me and be like, you're Miss South Carolina. You were at my school last week, blah, 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 blah. And you talked about this, this, and this. And if someone can recall what you shared with them or what you talked about with them, like, those are the things that I want to know or get a little glimpse of on your paperwork, because I want you to share that in your interview.
I love that. That is a life skill that will serve women forever, is knowing your value and knowing how to express it. I mean, that's something that I think everybody struggles with, but to be able to learn that as a teen in a pageant system and then work your way up, I mean, it sets you apart in business and life in general. So that is, I love that you said that, because that's huge.
Yes.
And then let's talk about interview, which I think is probably my favorite part of pageants.
Oh, mine too. Hands down.
what would be your number one piece of advice for girls going into interview?
I tell girls this backstage at Miss South Carolina every year. I used to say it because I was like the grandma of the group, competing at 25 and 26. And I would be backstage like, inhale confidence, exhale fear. Like, that's just what you have to do before you walk in the room. Like, what you tell yourself before you walk into that room is the most important thing ever. And it could be you just saying, hey, girl, before me, like, you're so sweet, you're so kind. I just don't want to talk to you right now because I'm getting my, like, mindset together. And that was me. Like, I am a kind, open person. But before my interview.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Honey, please don't talk to me. I do not have time. I am talking to the Lord. I am talking to myself. I am making sure that I am walking in confident and that I am not letting fear take over in this moment because it's so easy to do that. So breathe in confidence, exhale fear.
I love that. And that was actually something that I wanted to talk to you about towards the end is how really to survive pageant week. But I love that you just brought it up here. I think it's interesting to be in pageants because, and this is why I love you and you have always stood out to me, because you are competitive, but you're still able to be kind. And everyone around you feels loved and seen and respected. But how do you balance those two things? Because I think it is tricky.
Yeah. Honestly, you know, this is my first time saying this out loud to anyone. I don't think that I handled it as well at Miss America. I was not the normal. I am typically an extrovert. I love to talk and I find my way to like have conversations with people. But I think, you know, you get to a place, no matter who you are at any competition, and you can become so stressed and so hyper-focused on the things that didn't go well before you got there or things that were out of your control that you don't live in that moment. And I think for me, during Miss South Carolina and Miss South Carolina USA and, you know, all of the Miss Black US Ambassador, all of those competitions I did well, I placed, I did all of those things because I was in the moment. I focused on controlling what I could control. And everything else was out of my hands. I was like, you know what? What I can control is being a hype woman for the lady next to me. What I can control is this teen thinking that I am like her mom because I'm like the oldest girl backstage. And now I'm fixing a spray tan. I've never even had a spray tan. You know, like those are things that I can control. And I can control being kind and offering someone a smile when inside I really want to throw up. Like those are just moments that you don't even realize. Like you're creating your own like internal body chemistry and you're like changing those nerves into confidence when you decide I'm going to give somebody else a smile. I'm going to hype her up. And in return, I'm hyping myself up. Like that's what you have to do. And that's what you have to be. And so that is one of my like biggest regrets, I would say, is not being like able to find that hype woman that I usually am at Miss America. And so, yeah, I do think that every time you compete, like you have to have that mindset of I'm going to be everyone else around me. I'm going to be their hype woman so that I can keep myself like confident and sure and just relaxed.
Yeah. What was it about Miss America that you feel like put you in that headspace?
Oh, gosh. That's a whole separate podcast, Ashley. But I genuinely think it just that I was focusing on things that I couldn't control anymore. Like things that were just like, okay, that's done. Like I can't control that. So I have to let that go. Whether it's, you know, a wardrobe thing or, you know, the way that a certain part of your performance went, like once it's done, it's done. You got to move on to the next phase of competition. And so I think that that was more so my thing, just like overthinking the little things and like trying to control things that genuinely were just out of my control.
Man, it's so tough. It's so tough. So, well, so taking it back to interview, I mean, I guess like, were you able in your Miss America interview to kind of inhale and exhale, or did
I absolutely loved my Miss America interview. I've never watched it. Don't plan on watching it. But I walked out of the room confident, and that was all I ever needed. I walked out of the room sure that I represented myself well, that I represented the person that I, the kingdom that I serve well. I represented, you know, God and my faith well. And that I also represented South Carolina well and authentically. And that's all that I could ever ask for, is that I didn't have to go in that room and feel like I had to be anyone other than Jada. I tell people all the time, I am the same Jada when I went to the White House as the same girl who showed up at, you know, my home, my college homecoming. And like, I'm with my friends, I'm having a good time. Like, I am the same girl that, you know, also goes and empowers middle school age girls, you know, or goes and reads to elementary school kids. Like, I'm the same person in every room. So I don't feel like I have to change. And I think that's a part of just maturing, you know, girls will learn, you don't have to switch, you know, how you walk, how you talk, how you show up in a room just because you're around different people. Obviously, your language and your tone might change, but you can still be yourself and still, you know, stand firm in who you are.
That is a huge part of interview, is girls feeling comfortable in who they are. And there's kind of a debate when it comes to interview about who's in control. Are the judges in control of the interview, or is the contestant in control of the interview? But I think if they walk in with your attitude, it's like, it's not a battle about what we're talking about. It's just a conversation.
Exactly. I feel the same way. I think it's always weird when coaches get super stuck on that, you have to control the interview thing. And it's like, but what if they just genuinely want to know me and they want to talk to me and they're interested in who I am? And I do believe that it should be a back and forth. It shouldn't be a controlling of the conversation. And that's, there's an art to that. You know, you have to be able to throw the things in that you definitely want to talk about, but that's also where your paperwork should, it should lead them to those kinds of conversations without you having to control the interview in this like, let me bring it back to the question that I want to talk about, like that kind of thing. It's like, okay, girl, like you don't have to do that.
No, I know. Well, do you have any tips for helping girls kind of naturally or organically draw the conversation, maybe where they want it to go? Because that's one thing that I do, that I have noticed girls struggling with, is that they really want you to know about their platform or their community service and initiatives. And as judges, like, we've read the essays, we know about it. And sometimes we're just generally trying to get to know the real you, but this girl, she really needs you to know. So what's the balance? How can a girl, you know, bring the conversation back to something that she's interested in, while also honoring the judges really wanting to get to know her?
Yeah, this is where I do think, I know some people are very anti-mock interview because they're like, I don't want you to be too programmed when you go in there or have these rehearsed or canned answers. And I am very, again, like, I am very anti-canned answer. I am not the person who likes a rehearsed sounding answer. But what I do like is for a girl to be prepared to talk about what she wants to talk about. So if you can feel out the interview and you're like, okay, I know I'm like 5 questions in. During a mock interview, I typically get 12 questions in. I haven't had a chance, you know, to talk about X, Y, and Z. That's when the girl can control the interview and just, you know, say, Oh my goodness. Like, we're speeding through this. I haven't even had a chance to tell y'all about X, Y, and Z. And then it feels like, oh, this is just who she is. And like, maybe that comes out as a joke for somebody. Maybe that comes out as a serious, you know, transition for somebody. You know, like, it really depends on the girl's personality and how she's choosing to show up in interview. And everyone's not super commanding or, you know, has a louder or a deeper voice. Some people, you know, have to figure out that balance between what feels authentic and what is genuinely authentic versus, I know that I need to talk about this to tell them and show them who I am before I leave this room. So I think it's just a personality thing, and you have to figure out what works for you in mock interviews.
Yeah, I love that. That is, it is very much a personality thing, but it's doable. If you can, and I agree with you, we don't want canned answers, but mock interviews are so helpful so that you can figure out what your personality, what your style is, you know? Yes. So yeah, you can really maneuver. Yeah, I think that's super wise. Okay, good. Let's talk about fitness or swimsuit. this is one that I feel like is interesting because your physical health and your physical fitness, it sort of bleeds into every area of competition. And I think it can be a sticky subject. What is your number one piece of advice when it comes to fitness or swimsuit?
Stop overthinking it. I feel like so many people for so long spend a majority of their preparation on that 20 seconds of competition. And it's like, yes, that is important. Get all of your points. However, there are so many other areas of competition that you need to also lend your time and attention to. But also remember, like, you're competing against yourself in that phase of competition. It's a display of energy and confidence to me. I don't know if you've judged, I've judged, you know, local competitions and, you know, some state competitions, but I genuinely believe that it is a confidence thing. Like, there are girls who are not thin that look better on stage to me than any girl who's just naturally, and I'm a naturally petite person, so I'm saying this as a naturally petite person. I think that there are so many girls who look more confident, who look, you know, more poised, more prepared, more spunky, like they're having fun, that aren't necessarily the size 0 or 2 on the stage, but they look phenomenal because it's their presence is just there. They have a sense of confidence, an air of like, this is who I am. This is who I came to be. This is how I'm showing up. I'm living in the moment. Like, that is the energy that I want to feel when I'm watching a woman compete in fitness or in swimsuit. Either way.
Yeah. I do think from a judge's perspective that confidence and having a good time on stage is super important. But I do think there is a window of fitness that yes. is important to pay attention to. And you don't want to be on too far on either side of it. You know, like for me, I come from a background of disordered eating. And when girls are too thin and not, it's like, it's heartbreaking to me, you know? Mm-hmm. So I do think, you know, when I judged Miss South Carolina, there was a saying like, fit looks different on everybody. Fit looks different on everybody. Mm-hmm. And it does. It fit does look different on everybody, but there is sort of a, even you could say like a medical standard for fitness. And for me, I would say, I feel like it's important for women who are competing to understand.
Everything that you have said is so true, because I also say don't neglect the fitness competition. In the same way that I just said, prepare for the other areas just as much as you prepare for fitness, don't neglect it. Don't think, oh, well, you know, I look cute in my Fashion Nova jeans, so like, whatever, like, I'm just gonna show up. No, girl, like, you still gotta like look and present as someone who does take care of their physical body. And so definitely don't neglect that area of competition at all. I can tell people all the time, I was eating a lot of Chick-fil-A and was like on the road before I like went to Miss America, which I wish that I would have had the time and, you know, all of the resources to be able to be the best and most fit version of myself. But there were other times in my life where I showed up on stage much more fit. We can tell when it's a part of your life and when it's just, you're just there, you know?
Yeah. I think what you're saying about it being a part of your life is really important because you can tell on stage the girls where it's legitimately a part of their life, and you can tell when it's been a part of their life for the past 6 weeks as they're like gearing up for the pageant, you know? Yeah.
For sure. For sure. And there are, you know, again, differences in our natural builds, but the best thing that we can do is just at least show people I take care of myself. And that also shows up in so many other areas, like beyond the physical fitness, it's also like your skin. Like I have eczema. I grew up with eczema.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When I am not taking care of myself, I am reactive. I am inflamed. Like, I can tell. And so those are things that people look at when you're in fitness too. Like, it's an overall presentation of how you take care of yourself.
Yeah. And I do think, like you were mentioning earlier, for position to win, like, you're positioning women to win in life, and taking care of yourself and taking care of your body is so valuable. You know, like, it's mental health, it's physical health, it's really taking the time to take care of your body that goes such a long way.
Absolutely. I remember a couple of months ago, I heard the phrase, action is the antidote. And I firmly believe that a lot of times girls get so in their head about what's going to happen in competition and how they can or can't control what's going on. Action is the antidote to that anxiety. Like getting up and moving around and figuring out, okay, well, I might not be able to control, you know, this phase of competition or how much money I raise or whatever else, but you can't control the fact that you just decided to move.
Yeah, that's good. And that's good in life. I mean, that is, that's a good word. Okay. Let's talk about talent. So I come from the Miss USA system where I thank God did not have to perform a talent. But I have judged plenty of pageants where there are talents, and I'm always in awe of any woman who gets on stage and is able to do something remarkable. What is your biggest piece of advice when it comes to talent?
Choose the talent that works for you. I obviously have a very unique story. I won Miss South Carolina doing a dramatic monologue. I had been doing a dramatic monologue every year that I'd competed before her story was a thing. And honestly, I just want girls to do what works for them. Like, there's somebody out there. I literally have a video talking about this that's coming out on Position to Win. So everybody has to make sure that they follow so that they can see the video. But there's so many people who will tell you, I think you just need to sing. If you sang, you would win like X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, you haven't heard me sing. Like, you don't know that I cannot sing. Why would I listen to you and do something that is not genuine, not comfortable for me, just because someone else thinks that you should do it. Like, I am all for making sure that your talent is something that you feel good about. Like, at the end of the day, you have to feel good about what you are doing, because there are people who you can be a Kira. I'm going to say her last name incorrectly. You can play the cups. If you can do it well and you can be confident in it and you enjoy it and you made sure that your background music was something upbeat and it was fun and your costume made sense for you, and like, you took care of all of the elements that are a part of talent, that can be your talent. Like, your talent can be what you, whatever you want it to be. So I want girls to stop taking bad pageant advice from these coaches that competed in the 80s or the 70s and think that they know everything about what lyrical dance you should do. And they're choosing songs that their moms listen to. And I'm like, if I hear another 15-year-old trying to sing Etta James, or if I see another 16-year-old dancing to some Prince song that even their mom didn't listen to for real, like, let's choose something more modern. Let's choose something more upbeat. Let's choose something that's authentic to you. Because again, that authenticity is a through line. Like, we can see it in every phase of competition. And talent is one of those where I can just tell, like, you didn't decide that.
No. Oh my God. I wish that we could send out a PSA to every pageant girl. Please, please, please pick a song that is fun to listen to. Like, yes. I can remember when I judged Miss South Carolina, Shelley Bromhall from Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders was a teen judge. And her biggest piece of advice was just be entertaining. Like, not every judge is trained when it comes to dance or music or whatever it is. We just legitimately want to be entertained. And that comes, like you said, with your costume, with your song. Like, nobody wants to listen to the same old 80s song for the 100th time.
Like, how many Whitney Houston songs do we need?
No.
Like, I love Celine Dion, but baby, I'm at a pageant. Like, that's my Chaz Ellis coming through. I'm at a pageant. I don't want to hear that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And so also, I mean, taking it back to position to win, when it comes to talent, how does that bleed into just life in general?
I tell people this all the time. Okay, obviously I don't dance or sing, but I can walk into a room, any room, and you can give me a microphone, and it doesn't matter if they are 80-year-old people, if they are, you know, kindergartners that don't pay attention to anyone, I guarantee you I can entertain them.
Yeah,
I can entertain them. And that is my superpower. I tell people all the time, like, you have to figure out how your talent can, like, roll over into other areas of life and be your superpower. Like, if you are a state title holder or local title holder and you get to practice, like, showing up, like, if you're a singer, be an Oprah and be sing-songy in your speeches. Like, we want to hear you, hello, good morning. Like, I want you to have that kind of energy, because that is what we need. Like, we need people to be able to find what is transferable. Like, if you're a dancer, like, I want that big energy when you enter a room. Like, those are things that you might not even realize that carry over, but they absolutely do. So finding out what's transferable and, like, making it work for everything else is chef's kiss. Like, if you can do that as a local title holder, a state title holder, someone who never wins, like, whatever, like, you found it. You found your thing.
Yeah. That, I've never heard anybody say that before. And it's such great advice. What is transferable? I mean, that is huge. So huge. Okay. You grabbing the mic and entertaining people is a great transition to onstage question, which I think is the worst part of pageants. Hands down. For the contestants. And I mean, as a judge too, you're just like, oh, God bless. I hate this moment for you because it's so nerve wracking. Yeah. What is your biggest piece of advice when it comes to onstage question?
You know, it is one of those things. It can be like, oh my God, I have to say XYZ. And, you know, I had competed, like I said, in state pageants, South Carolina, South Carolina, USA. I had done national pageants. And I always felt best when my answer wasn't like planned or canned. I always was like, I hope they give me a question about my nonprofit mentoring organization. And every time I listen to those, I'm like, that answer was blah. Like, it was good, but it wasn't great. And for me, my best answers at Miss South Carolina or any other state competition were the ones that I didn't know were coming. The questions that were just, you know, off the cuff, like, you have to think, like, display your knowledge, but also just be yourself. Like, you don't have to check the boxes. Whenever I tried to check the boxes, I would just be like, eh. And then I remember getting to Miss America and literally every girl had a quote in their answer and everybody had a canned answer. And so I am like, I just know they're going to ask me something basic. Like, I guess I have to have a quote too. And I will never forget, I got up there and like the answer wasn't terrible. But I got up there and I start giving the quote and I give the quote out of order. And so I'm like, see, now I've messed myself up. Like, I knew what I was going to say, but because everybody's giving a quote in their answer, I feel obligated to give a quote. I don't know who that was. I'm like, that's not Jada. Jada would have gotten up here and just been like, you know what? Like, everybody in here has had someone in their life as a mentor to inspire them and blah, 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 blah. Like, I could have just given a Jada answer. Why do I ever feel obligated to give an answer that someone has like planned out for me? I don't know. And so I tell girls all the time, like, I will show you my own videos and let you see the better answers are the ones that aren't canned or planned and they just free flow because you don't overthink them. You just start talking.
Because at the end of the day, whether it's an interview or onstage interview, the judges really are just trying to see who are you and how are you going to do if we hire you for this job, you know? Yeah. And having a canned answer, like, nobody connects with that. Nobody yeah. connects with it, you know, onstage okay. or in like in-person interview. So I think that's really good advice.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to onstage question, any rollover that you would have when it comes to just life in general?
Oh my gosh. That's, I tell all local title holders, if you have the opportunity as a local title holder to go to a school, number one, say yes, because kids are your best practice for onstage questions. They are going to ask you any and everything. I will never forget being asked during my year as Miss South Carolina how old I was. And then a little boy goes, oh, you're around my mama's age. Granted, he's in like kindergarten, so I definitely could have been his mom. At 27, I definitely could have had a five-year-old. But like, my goodness, like, kids are going to give you, if you let them do a Q&A with you, that's the best practice that you will ever have. And so I always start with that. And then it's going to roll over into every other area of your life because you're going to walk into interviews for jobs and not know what the questions are. You're going to be put on the spot during meetings. You're going to be a presenter somewhere one day and have questions afterwards. And you just have to be able to answer those questions to the best of your ability and display your knowledge, but also just be yourself in those moments too.
So good. Okay. Last phase of competition I want to talk about is evening gown. What is your number one piece of advice for evening gown?
I love evening gown. It was the only area of competition that I didn't have to think too hard about. evening gown is one of those things where your aura radiates outward. So if you are someone who is genuinely happy to be there and in that competition, and yes, you've practiced your walk and everybody has a phenomenal gown, like, wonderful. But if you can just bask in your moment, I think the judges see that. I think I won overall evening gown maybe two or three times at Miss South Carolina. But every single time, I was seriously just enjoying the moment. And every time I also thought it was like my last time on stage. So that's a whole nother story. But every time I was always like, this is your last time. Just enjoy it. And I think everyone should go into the competition thinking that, though. You know, like if you're a teen, like you should be like, this is my first time doing this. Like I should enjoy this. Or as a miss, you're like, I paid so much for this freaking gown. Like I'm just going to enjoy this. Like that is how you have to feel. And like, you're not just in that moment for the judges. You're in that moment for all of the people who you see in that audience that you are representing, whether it be your family and your friends or some little girl who's just like, I met her in the hotel lobby earlier today and she was kind to me. That moment should be the moment that you think about those people and just kind of bask in it, you know, like float.
Yes. I mean, I think a great way to prepare for evening gown is to watch title holders on their last walk when they give up their crown or when they're, you know, because they are having a moment and there is so much gratitude radiating from them. You know, they're so thankful for everybody in the audience who has made it possible. I think it's a beautiful example of exactly what we're looking for at evening gown is just that confidence and gratitude radiating.
Yes. That's why I said it's not about you. It's about all the people. Like, and give them a show. Like, give them a show. Like, I'm like, people in the bleachers, like, they can see my gown too. Like, this is for all.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All of, like, this is your moment. Like, it's a show. Like, put on a show.
Yes. Put on a show and enjoy it. Like, yes. It's your moment. I love that. And I mean, often in real life, we don't wear evening gowns very often, but how would you say that translates?
I think that evening gown translates into so many other areas because you want to be the woman who walks into the room and people notice you. I worked in politics after working as a journalist, and I have oftentimes been the youngest person in the room. There were a few times where I might have been the only Black woman in the room. And so I would walk in navy blue pantsuit, like something like not, you know, trying to draw attention, but your presence speaks way before you do in every situation. So when you walk into a room, even with your navy blue pantsuit and your Converse sneakers, because of course I'm going to do that too, I would have my shoulders back and people would be like, who are you? Who do you work for? Like, people want to know who you are when you walk into the room with like this executive presence, this grace, this confidence, and this poise. Like, that is something that is going to follow you everywhere you go. I cannot tell you how many times I have not been the important person in the room, but everyone wanted to get to know me.
I love that. And one thing that I saw on your Instagram that I do want to talk about when it comes to evening gown is nobody knows how much your evening gown costs.
Oh my God.
So do you think you have to spend an arm and a leg on your evening gown to win?
No. And I did talk about this on Position to Win, but I've truly competed in a 99-cent gown. I was the first Miss Greenville Teen USA for GC pageants, which is like a well-known pageant competition here in South Carolina and I guess North Carolina too. And I remember telling them I already have a gown and they were like, okay, let's see it. My mom and I literally got my prom dress and my evening gown from Miss South Carolina Teen USA. Buy one, get one for 99 cents. And you had to pay for the most expensive one. The prom dress ended up being more expensive than the evening gown for competition. So I bought the prom dress and got the evening gown for 99 cents. like 99 cents. And I ended up wearing it to Miss South Carolina Teen USA, and I made the cut, you know. Like, I'm like, how in the world did I do this? But it's truly not about what you are wearing. It's about how you're wearing it. And of course, like, making sure you take care of it, making sure that it fits properly and that it's steamed and that you're presenting yourself in the best way possible. But you could wear a trash bag, and if you have some presents, like, you can make that work.
That's so true. It's so true. I love that. I love that so much. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Position to Win, and what your passion is, and, you know, how girls can connect with you. So tell me all about it.
So Position to Win started as a little mantra for myself. I was making sure that even after my third loss at Miss South Carolina and my fourth loss at Miss South Carolina, that I was putting myself in position to win after the pageant. And what that means is, was I taking away something from my experience and from my time competing that I could use in other areas of my life? Was I walking away with more connections? Was I walking away with a sense of confidence or a skill that I didn't realize that I needed to, you know, work on? So I changed the title of my former competition page, and I was just like, yeah, I'm going to start talking to women who didn't necessarily win, but had done something incredible with their lives, with or without the title. And so I started those conversations on a podcast, and then realized very quickly that it needed to evolve into something that was more educational, because so many girls think, okay, I'm coming into this competition, I don't have much money. Do I have to spend it all on a coach, or I don't know what I'm spending all this money. What am I gaining? And I really wanted to focus on what you could gain if you put in the work. How could you put yourself in position to win in every other area of your life? And so that's what it became. And so now it is a page and a YouTube channel where girls can go and find resources. There will be some free downloadable resources coming really soon. It has also evolved into a devotional that I wrote. You can see the copy of the devotional behind me. It's a journal, because that's something that I needed during pageant week, and also leading up to and after, was to be able to get into this headspace that, you know, this was bigger than me. This was a moment that was more important than just me winning or losing. This was about me being grounded in my faith, and also being able to say, you know, God brought me to this experience, so he clearly wants me to gain something from it. What is that something? And so I wrote this devotional, and it's also a journal. So it gives you that moment to just think and pause and reflect, and really figure out what that something is along the way. And so that's for sale on positiontowin.co as well. And I don't know, it's evolving into so much more. I never thought that I would be coaching, but I am really excited to work with girls who want to gain more than just a crown over the next couple of months and years. And we'll see what it evolves into. But for now, it's that. And I truly do want girls to be able to say that they could come to Position to Win, either the website or the social media page, and they were able to learn something and gain something that they didn't necessarily have to pay for, but it's something that they could take with them on their path. Yeah.
I love that. It's so good. So you've talked about it a little bit, but obviously you competed in lots of pageants, and you competed at Miss South Carolina many times,
yeah,
and didn't win. Yeah. What advice would you give the girl who has been competing and hasn't won?
Yeah, I was the girl who walked away just knowing I'd never be able to come back. So my story is that I started competing my junior year of high school in the South Carolina Teen USA system. I had seen Cammie Crawford win Miss Teen USA when I was in high school, and Megan Pinkney was like the second ever Black Miss South Carolina Teen USA. And I'm just like watching all of these women that I'm like, oh my gosh, my cousin competed for Miss South Carolina, USA. And I'm like watching her from the audience as she represents her hometown. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, these women are incredible. And so that's what led me to compete, truly watching my cousin and watching other women who looked like me compete. And so I did it for a couple of years as a teen. I did it my sophomore and junior year in high school and the first semester of college. And then I was like, I want to enjoy college. And so I took a break. And I encourage girls to do that too. I have a video coming about that. But taking a break is so important sometimes because you need to learn who you are outside of pageantry and competition. And so I took that break and then decided that service was really important to me. So me doing my mentoring program and completing events and running that program was something that I kind of poured myself into. And then my senior year of college, there was another young woman in my class who had competed at Miss South Carolina. And I was like, I'm going to do some research on this. And the spring of my senior year of college, I decided to compete in my first local. I lost. They gave away 5 titles and I still lost. But then I decided to try one more time. And I ended up winning a local title and competing that summer, the last year of historic Miss America is what I call it, before they got rid of swimsuit and all of that change took place, was incredible. It was something that showed me that my passion for my community service could be on display in this large way. And people would invite me into spaces to speak about it simply because I had on a crown and sash. And I was like, oh, this is different. I love this. And that became a thing. My passion was always my platform, my community service initiative, whatever you want to call it nowadays. And I knew that I would be invited into spaces to grow that organization simply because I had on a crown and sash. And so that became my thing for the next couple of years. I competed for 4 years, with a couple of like other pageants splashed in between. And after my 4th year, I was like, well, I'll never be able to compete again. I am too old to compete according to the rules for Miss America. And the rules ended up changing after I had already moved out of state and was moving on with my career and my life. I came back and I ended up winning Miss South Carolina the next June because I was eligible to compete again. And so I tell people all the time, I've been the girl who had already faced like never being able to win. Like, I've already experienced that. And I know that people are like, but you came back and won. Yes, but I spent an entire year being the girl who would never win. And so I know what that feels like. And I tell people all the time that I was able to move on and have peace with it because I found my bigger why. And I did put myself in position to win. So I was able to move on in my career and in my life and continue serving and not make the crown chasing aspect of it what led me to compete in the first place. Like, it was always more, but I really discovered my more and my why while I was competing. And so I was at peace with it. I feel like you have to focus on that aspect of why is this bigger than me? And when you figure that out, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. Like, I truly, truly was at peace. Like, I think people were like, are you serious? Like, you're not going to come back? I was not going to come back because I was good. I was good. My organization was growing. I was making a difference. People knew me with or without the crown. And that's all I could ever ask for, is that people know who I am and what I represent with or without the crown on my head.
I love that. So good. Oh my gosh, Jada, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Thank you for having me.
Tell everyone the best place to find you, how they can connect with you as a coach. Where should they go?
Yes. So if you want all of that free advice that I was talking about, it is on all social media platforms at Positioned to Win. So we're on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You can find some long form videos there where I dive deeper into other topics. So that's all there. If you would like a copy of the devotional, or you want to find those YouTube videos and just get right to the good stuff, you can go to www.positiontowin.co. And so that's there. And then if you want to connect with me for coaching, that information is on the website as well. If you go to Instagram or any social media and you click the link in our bio, it's one of the first options that comes up. And of course, you can follow me and all my regular shenanigans on my personal social media as well at Jada M. Samuel.
I love it. Well, I'll put all of that in the description, links to everything in the description so that everybody can find it really easily. And then I just want to give like a hearty amen to the devotional, because one thing as a coach that I've seen is that girls, once they get to pageant week, is where a lot of people crumble. Mm-hmm. And having something like that devotional, I think, is huge when it comes to being able to, like you said, stay grounded and really remember your why. So I just, yes and amen to the devotional. I'll definitely put a link in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here and sharing with everybody.
Thank you. And thank you for being a true example of how pageantry has put you in position to win in so many areas of your life too. You deserve your flowers. You've done some incredible things. So thank you for allowing me to share in your space.
And thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. This has been a Front Row Entertainment production.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.